Welcome to PB Podcast, where we talk to interesting people about interesting things going on in the Elyria schools. Now your host, Amy Higgins.
Hey everybody, welcome back to PD Podcast. I feel like we're just rolling out podcasts day after day from a hiatus we were on, and now we're doing them like multiple times a day, Marty.
Yes, and it's always when we're doing other things multiple times a day. When we weren't doing anything, we weren't doing podcasts when we should have been.
Okay, I don't want you out there telling people we're not doing anything. We have lots going on. It might just not be the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to PD Podcast. We're very excited. We rolled out some fun ones over the last couple weeks with some visits to drama clubs and a visit from our friends over at the Special Olympics for the craft fair. And today we're talking to another wonderful member of the pupil, I guess, student services department now. We used to, for many years, call it the pupil services department, but we've gotten more new age with our names of our departments. And Holly Campbell is a behavior specialist with the Student Services Department of Elyria Schools. And Student Services also encompasses Special Olympics, special education. We talked about Special Olympics yesterday. And then the Student Services also encompasses counseling in the schools, nursing in the schools, behavior and discipline in the school, school climate, all of that stuff. It's a huge department. And Holly is relatively new to Elyria Schools. I think this is your second or third year, which...
Kind of my second year. So okay. Last year I was actually with the Educational Service Center, but I worked here in the Elyria City Schools kindergarten through fourth grade buildings. But this year I'm officially a pioneer.
Awesome. Holly is one of a team of, we call them BRICS, B-R-I-C. I-C. And tell us what that stands for.
So we're a team. We are behavior reinforcement and implementation coordinators, which is a little bit different than a behavior specialist. We're working really when we think of the big picture and school culture and changing systems and being there to support teachers and students and changing the way that we're approaching behavior change and making sure that everybody has what they need to be as successful as possible.
Awesome. And you're one of three BRICS in the district. You're at the elementary level primarily. We
yes.
have a BRIC at the middle school level and one at the high school, and you guys are doing phenomenal things. One of the things that I know you're particularly behind and spurring along famously is the PACS program. And we're not talking about PACS like a pack of gum. We have all these acronyms in education. So tell us a little bit about PACS, P-A-X, and what that is.
So PACS is an evidence-based, trauma-informed behavior program. The nice thing about PACS is it is, first off, not new. So this is not something that's coming and going. And it is what we call a tier one support. All that means is these are strategies that can be used for any student, regardless of whether they're in the general education setting or might need special education services. PACS actually stands for peace, and the whole idea is to create, using these strategies, a more peaceful environment in the classroom so that students are able to succeed and thrive and have better outcomes.
And PACS is something that some people might equate to an older term called the good behavior game. I've heard that reference before when people have talked about PACS. So a little bit about how that came to be and why that good behavior game is synonymous with PACS.
So the good behavior game is actually, it goes back quite a bit. And it's a practice based on the idea that we are going to set a finite amount of time with clear expectations and see if students can meet us at that goal. What PACS did was it built a system that supports that. So when teachers implement PACS in the classroom, it starts by working through what we call kernels. And those are just different strategies. Once students are comfortable with all of the strategies, they can implement the game. And what the game does is really helps teacher to create time on task. instead of having to spend so much time redirecting, it's a really clear indicator for students of what's expected and what it looks like. And then we have fun ways to reward them at the end. And the rewards don't have to be tangibles. That means it's not necessarily a sticker or a prize. It's just the idea of having fun, which I know some people really have concerns about in the schools, but there are ways that we can really set kids up to feel positive feelings and feel reinforced without actually having to give them anything.
So I attended one of your parent sessions recently, and so that's, we're going to get into that, that PACS, you know, is used in the classroom, but it has a lot of strategies and kernels, as you said, that can be applied at home or on the bus or wherever kids might be. And I got to sit in on one of your sessions with the parents at Ely Elementary. Shout out to the Ely Pride Parent Club because they were fantastic. A really very motivated group of parents over there and just really doing great things for Ely School. So thank you for attending that session. But one of the things that I thought was funny, you were describing one of the activities that kids enjoy that isn't a prize that's like a tangible sticker or something like that. But one of the things they enjoy doing is barking like a dog. Talk a little bit about like how that works and why that might be entertaining for kids.
So they get a bone?
No, they don't. The reward is barking like a dog.
Oh, I thought they were barking for something.
No.
So the idea of these non-tangible reinforcers, they have two names. So if you're a classroom teacher, you're going to call them Granny's Wacky Prizes, or don't call them that. Doesn't really matter. At home, for the tools training, they're called mystery motivators. It's the same idea. They're just set up to be received by whoever's going to be performing them. The idea here is that you pick something that normally would be off limits. Not necessarily bad, but something you're probably going to tell a child to not do anymore. Barking like a dog is a great example. If you have a child just barking like a dog in your classroom, you're going to tell them to stop. But with a mystery motivator or Granny's Wacky Prize, the idea is you set the expectation. Hey, you earned a Granny's Wacky Prize. We're going to do this for 10 seconds. And we all know what it should look like when it ends. We practice that. And then you let them go. And it sounds like chaos. Sometimes it's something like barking like a dog. Sometimes it's stomping your feet as loud as you can. It could be singing happy birthday in a funny voice. What it does is it creates this fun environment. And what it does that's super important that often gets misunderstood or just people don't recognize it is it teaches kids how to put on the brakes. So often we have these conversations that like, I want to do these fun things, but the kids can't calm down after, but they have to practice it like any other skill. So if multiple times throughout the day you're doing something for just 10, 15 seconds, it doesn't take a bunch of planning, that the kids have to be excited and calm back down, they get to practice that. And it's just like a muscle, you build it over time.
I love that because I do think that kids often, if you let them do something and then you stop it, or they want to keep going because, as you pointed out in your parent session, they think they're not going to ever get to do it again. Like, mom's never, ever going to allow me to run around the kitchen island or to bark like a dog as loud as I want. So I'm just going to take advantage of that and keep going until I get in trouble for it. But you're saying they're learning how to put those restraints on themselves because they know they'll get another chance.
Mm-hmm. You know, we all struggle with limiting things that we feel like there's not enough of. So if there's only a few cookies left, like you want to eat the cookies. If you know there's an endless supply, you're probably going to get over it pretty quick. So we just have to train them to do that. And it creates such a joyful environment. So if you're walking through a hallway and all of a sudden out of nowhere, there's just kids barking, you can't help but laugh.
Yeah.
I've actually been with parents and all of a sudden it sounds like the building's caving and it's like they're doing a Granny's Wacky Prize. They're probably all stomping and they get this look on their face like they earned it. They did something fun. That's a great thing to be able to share with people in the building or anywhere in the building. You can hear it happening and it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really cool. And I thought your session with the parents was fantastic. I think to take, because I myself as a mom, you know, there's things that the kids do at home that just absolutely drive you crazy. And instead of trying to strategized to make it work for you or like fit into a workable situation, I probably do what a lot of parents do, and that's just stop it. You know, you have that instant like, and then you're mad and you're not necessarily, or it, you know, something else that you pointed out is you might, you know, take something away from them that, you know, for the behavior that had nothing to do with the behavior. And, you know, it's hard for them then to make the relationship between the behavior and the punishment or the discipline or whatever it was because they're not connected. So some things that you were saying were very relatable, I think, to any parent. And I think it's an amazing program that it allows for building those strategies at home and then connects so well with what they're learning in school.
Yeah, and the nice thing about PACS tools and PACS GBG, so when we talk about PACS in the classroom, what our teachers here, pre-K through eighth grade, are trained in, that's the PACS GBG or PACS Good Behavior Game. In both of those settings, what makes it work is that it's a toolbox. So every year is going to be different. Every year with your own kids at home, I have a 13 and 15-year-old. Every year has been different. There's years that have been great. There's years that we just survive. Same thing in the classroom. But the idea is you create a toolbox and you pull what works at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there are certain strategies that work really well, like beat the timer when your child is little. We're getting things cleaned up. We're at home. We're setting a timer or a song, just a finite amount of time, and we are going to get it done because I can do anything for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. When they get older, there's ways to adjust some of those strategies to work for older kids too. So in the PACS tools parent training, one of the things we talk about is kudos. In the classroom, those look like toodles. Either way, it's positive notes. So science tells us that if you receive positive feedback, but it's written, your brain processes it differently. Mm. And anytime a child gets a positive note, like, they hoard them. Mm-hmm. What does that look like at home? It's okay for it to look different. Maybe that means sending your 15-year-old a positive text. Just saying, hey, I appreciate how much effort you put in. I know you got to be on the test. Like, you worked so hard on that. Having those little positive things like notes in a lunchbox go way farther than we think. And so some of these things might feel like strategies people use all the time. But I always tell teachers, and this works for parents too, when you name them and you give these strategies names and you put them in your toolbox, it's a lot easier to pull them out because you know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes this program work so well in both settings.
One of the things that you just said that I think is important to restate and maybe explain further is identifying the behavior that you're giving the toodle for or you're giving the reward for. Why is that important?
So often what we do is we compliment, and we do this as grown-ups, we compliment outcomes or we compliment things that we don't really have a lot of control over. And that's great, and it still lifts everybody up. But what it doesn't do is build the likelihood of that happening again. So if a student completes an activity and you say, wow, you colored that really neatly, that's great. But if I'm really clear and I say, I love how you stayed in the lines on this whole section, and I could tell you really took your time, now they have some very specific things that they know I was looking for, and I'm more likely to see those again. When we praise what gets us there, we can also dole out praise so much more often. Mm-hmm. So if you have a student who works really, really hard and they get C's, like, they're putting in 100% effort, you can still say, I saw what your study guide looked like. You did an amazing job getting all your information down. They can still not do well on the test, and you can praise what worked. And that really opens it up so that we stop focusing on just what's not working and find the ways to celebrate what is working.
I love that. How does a parent, you know, if they haven't had the opportunity to sit and listen to you, and how do they learn more about this, and how do they even begin the process of implementing some of these strategies at home?
So you can visit praxis.org, and they will have information about training opportunities. Sometimes they do some free online trainings, and those are great. We're actually going to be holding a training here for all parents, preschool through fourth grade. That is on the, I'm actually going to check my paper because we changed the date before I got this together, March 13th from 5 to 6:30 at Eastern Heights. So anybody's welcome to come to that. Once you've done the training, whether you find it online or you come join us, it's really a matter of finding what works for you, and then you can put the strategies in place and not holding yourself to this unrealistic standard. So with any of these programs, the idea is to walk away with a couple things you can do right now. What can I do now? And once those work, add a few things in. I wouldn't recommend somebody diving in and trying to do every strategy all day long. It's going to feel really insincere. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to keep up with. But if you picked two things, like I mentioned, beat the timer and kudos, and you're like, I'm going to focus on using a timer for things that we just need to get done and writing a couple positive notes this week, that feels doable and it's still going to have huge impact.
I think that's a great advice. And if you need to go find that online, look for that. I know you mentioned to the parents at Ely that there's also an app.
There is an app. The app won't be super useful unless you've had a training. Mm-hmm. But once you are trained, and in the training we give you like a QR code to access it, or it's available for both iPhone and Android, it's the PAX Tools app. And within that, it will give you ideas of mystery motivators, which are those funny little prizes, some different ways you can utilize things. It has a visual timer. So all of those can be great.
Now, I'm going to throw another acronym out there, PBIS. And I want to know about PBIS, just Cliff Notes version. A lot of people have heard of PBIS. They know what it is, or they may have it in their district or whatever. But kind of just a general definition of what it is. And then we had some very special recognitions earlier this year for some of our schools related to PBIS. Tell me what that is.
Okay, so PBIS is Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports. And all that means is we are working to find ways in a positive manner to support positive behavior in kids. So recognizing when they're doing a good job, creating things that are fun and exciting that help build what the expectation is and help us all meet that. One of the buildings right now is actually doing like a puffball challenge in the cafeteria. There's one specific behavior they're looking for, and tables are earning puffballs. It's like a competition. So how can we build up what we want to see and make it fun? It doesn't mean no consequence, but these are the supports that go in place that are like proactive. It's like, what are we doing to get us ready for it? So it's not about the marathon. It's about all the races we do before we get there so that we're ready. PACS actually fits into PBIS. Sometimes people think they are two separate programs, but the idea of PBIS is, think about a big umbrella. PACS will be under that umbrella, and it's part of it. It's something we can do to support all students. Three of our buildings last year at the elementary level, so we had Eastern Heights, Ely, and Hamilton, they applied for state recognition for their work in PBIS. So what they received was the Bronze Award for Tier 1. And what that award really represents is the idea that within those buildings, teachers and administrators teamed up and really created great structures. It's not just about outcomes. You know, it takes a long time to build these processes and see the impact. But what it does show is that they put the effort in. And so they were recognized. We had it here at a board meeting. Josh Priest from the state support team came out and gave them their awards. And they hold that award for a year. They have to reapply every year, any school that receives it. Looking ahead, there's the option to do silver, which means we have some tier two supports in place, which helps kids who might need a little bit more help in behaviors. And then tier three, which would be just above that. But right now, we're really proud of those three buildings. And this year, we're all going to put our effort out there and see what we can do.
Just because you mentioned them, tier one, tier two, tier three, just quickly, what's the difference? You know, for someone listening, what does that mean?
So the whole idea, and there's not kids that are tier one, tier two, or tier three. These are just processes. Mm-hmm. So tier one is what we're doing for every kid every day. That's PACS. It's how we're interacting. It's how we're setting up our classrooms and our buildings. It's the culture of our school and what that means for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some students might need more support. Just like some students might need title reading, some students may need a little bit of behavior support. Mm-hmm. So then we have another layer. So that might look like having a mentor or something within the classroom like a behavior chart. And that's going to just help those kids to get back on track. That's usually only about 10 to 15%. 80% or more of students usually respond to a tier one. And then for those students who might need really individualized plans, that would be a tier three. And that's when we're talking about creating things that are very specific to that student to support them. to create the best outcomes possible.
That's awesome. You're an excellent explainer, by the way. I really do mean that. It's great when you meet somebody who can really like break things down in nuggets that are understandable.
Well, I spent most of my life explaining things to 8-year-olds, so.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, and we're probably
I think we're probably around that. If you're a longtime listener, then you know that. But Holly, once again, as we're closing up the show, I do want to say thank you. I have learned a lot just in the brief time I spent at your little session at Ely, and I learned more again today. And so I'm going to tell anybody who's out there listening and lives in Elyria that's a parent, please come to the parent PAX training with Miss Holly Campbell on March 13th from 5 to 6:30. That's free. That's open to PK4 parents and the Elyria School students, PK4 preschool through fourth grade. Again, Eastern Heights is located at 528 Garford Avenue in Elyria, Wednesday, March 13th from 5 to 6:30. Holly, thank you for this awesome session, and we hope to have you back again.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.